Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy, please. And time is short, so we'll jump right into it. Glad to see everyone here today. It's a blessing to see a lot of new faces. I haven't been here on a Sunday morning service for quite a while, but it's also good to see many of the faithful people right in their spot, and that's a blessing. Thank you for being faithful here. On behalf of our team there in Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand, we thank you for your faithfulness here at home and supporting what God's doing here in your prayers and supporting your faith promise commitment, and that's a blessing. And this morning I stand before you by the grace of God as one of you. You know, the interesting thing about having missionaries sent out from your own church is, you know, we're just real people, okay? Probably over the years I've offended some of, now I find that very hard to believe, but maybe, okay, one or two of you. And hey, we're just one of you. And God is calling some of you in here this morning to become one of us. Become one of us. And I wish we had more time to talk about that, but we won't. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's pray together as we get started. Father, we thank you for the time we have set aside to be here with your people in this house. Lord, I pray that you would use your word and your Holy Spirit to work in hearts. I cannot speak to hearts, but you through your truth can. I pray that you'd help me to speak the truth in love this morning. And I do pray that you would help us to see this world the way that you see it. Not the way that our culture wants to see it. Not the way that our flesh is tempted to see it, but the way that you see it, Lord. And we thank you for that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. For the next few moments, I want you to forget whatever's going on at home. Forget whatever you're planning to do this afternoon before the evening service. I want you to forget about Walmart. Forget about the housework that needs to be done, ladies. The dishes that you didn't help your wife with this morning, men, okay? And I want us for a moment to think about things that really matter this morning. And by the way, as I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself as well. In a moment, we'll read our passage, but first of all, for sake of time, I'm going to skip over a couple points, but I want to mention them. The song was a blessing this morning as a lady sang, "Lord, let me see this world the way that you see it." By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking upon this world the same way that he looked upon it 2,000 years ago when he, in human flesh, walked among us. And that's with the heart of compassion. My flesh is not wanting to have compassion on people. And I suspect your heart is not always filled with compassion, but our prayer, our desire ought to be, "Lord, help me to see this world the way that you see it." Let me say this morning, we need to open our eyes, church, to the urgent spiritual needs around the world. The urgent spiritual needs around the world. March 12, 2012, the world population reached 7 billion people. Today, several months later, it's in excess of 7.2 billion people, growing every day at 204,000. Today's statistics tell us that 9 out of 10 people living today do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 9 out of 10 living today, if they died, they would spend eternity in hell. We're told, statistics tell us, that 4 out of 5 people living today around the world have never one time even heard a clear presentation of the gospel. have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel. We are told this morning, church, that one out of every two babies born today. Memorial Hospital is not exempt from this. Hospitals all around the world. Villages you and I have never heard of. 204,000 babies born today. One out of every two, unless something changes, unless the church sees the world the way Christ sees it, one out of two of those babies will live a life of suffering, die, and go to hell without ever one time even hearing that there is a man called Jesus Christ. One out of two. It's not that they rejected Christ on purpose. It's not that they came to Sunday school, were brought up on a bus route, came and grew up in a Christian home. When they became 18 years old, they rejected that. No, one out of two babies today that are born today will live their entire life. For some of them, it might just be a few years. Some may live well into adulthood, but they will live and die without ever one time hearing that there is a way to get to heaven. That ought to sober us this morning. That ought to help us to think about things that are truly, truly important, things that are eternal. We need to realize this morning that on average, 190 people die every minute around the world. That's three a second. If statistics are true, that's an average of two people dying and going to hell every second that we speak, every second that we're here in church. So we're here for an hour, every second, two people on average die and go to hell. We need to understand this morning, church, that the missionary force being sent out from America is shrinking every year by 1%. So 2 years, case in point, we've been there in Cambodia for this last term for a little over 2 years. Your church, our church here, sent two other missionaries to join us, the Keos and Brother Haas and his wife, since we've been there. Since we've been there, we've also had two independent Baptist missionary families leave the field and return to America. So as far as the gospel in Cambodia goes, we're just breaking even. And around the world, the missionary force is shrinking by 1%. We are told that for every two missionaries that leave the States and go somewhere outside of America, three return back to America, never to go back to the mission field. In church this morning, the challenge would be from John chapter 4, verse 35, where Christ says, "Lift up your eyes, look upon the fields, for they're white, ready to harvest." This morning, church, for just a moment, right there in your chair, I want you to think about the urgent spiritual needs around the world. You say, well, is it here in America? It's here in America, too. Urgent spiritual needs. For sake of time, we're going to move on from that point. I want you to open your eyes this morning and consider the overwhelming physical needs around the world. They're not just spiritual needs. They're also physical needs. Today, over 1 billion people will live and die in desperate poverty on less than $1 a day. I want you to think about that. Less than $1 a day. 2 billion people, statistics tell us, live on less than $2 a day. It was interesting this morning on my way to church, I stopped by AMPM. And you know, when you're a missionary, like Brother Esposito mentioned Thursday night, we see things a little bit different than we did before we lived in a third world country. This doesn't just represent coffee to me. This $1.69 AMPM coffee to me represents what most of my church members in Cambodia could not afford. 1 billion people in the world live on less than $1. 2 billion people live on less than $2 a day. Families in Cambodia would choose between buying a coffee like this or providing food for their family for the entire day. I want us to think about that. You say, well, what does that have to do with the gospel? It has to do with the gospel that Christ looked upon the poor with compassion. You and I have compassion on the poor. You say, well, they're poor because they're in a godless pagan country. Maybe so. Christ had compassion on the pagans. And you and I this morning need to consider the overwhelming physical needs, the spiritual needs. We need to understand that for the majority of the world today, folks, it is a struggle just to find water. Just to find water to drink. Just to find shelter, to find medicine. This morning, statistics tell us that over 20,000 children today will die today because of preventable diseases. Here in America, we would have a medicine, we would have a pill, we have clean water. Many children around the world today will die because of a lack of clean drinking water. 20,000 a day. Allow that to hit you. Allow that to soften up your heart. One of the things that we struggle with there, and all of your missionaries struggle with in Cambodia, is guilt, because we have clean water here in America. We can buy coffee for $1.69 and not think a thing about it. What I want you to do this morning is, when you go to lunch, whether it's that three tacos for $1 with a steak and lobster, you do what God wants you to do. But I want you to picture families around the world before you order off of that menu and think how many families could live for an entire month off the meal that you and I will buy today at lunch. I want you to think about it. And then make the decision. Should you buy it? Should you not buy it? I made the decision this morning to buy the coffee. $1.69. Most of the Christians in Cambodia could not begin to afford that. You realize today there's 750,000 Somalians that are on the brink of life and death, and unless something serious happens in their life, they will die of starvation. 750,000. That's more than the entire population of Long Beach. Living on the brink of life and death for one reason, starvation. We know the majority of those are Muslims, and if God's word is true, they will die and go to hell. Does that hit you the way that it hits the Lord Jesus Christ? Overwhelming spiritual poverty in the world. Yet we live in a land where I dare say majority of us have more than one Bible. Majority of us, if we want to, will eat three meals today. Do these statistics hit us in the heart the way they hit God's heart? See the world this morning the way that God sees it. In light of the fact there's great spiritual and physical poverty around the world, I want us to consider the passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. My third point is this morning, church. Open your eyes. Be content with the simple necessities of life. You say, well, what does this have to do with missions conference? I want to hear some stories. And sorry for leaving the adult Sunday school class hanging this morning. Several of you said, I no longer like you. You left us hanging. I said, come back in 3 years and we'll tell you the other half of the story. No time for stories this morning, folks. Let me tell you this. In light of the fact there's great spiritual and physical poverty, and God wants us to see the world the way that he sees it, I want to challenge us this morning to change the way we think and to be content with the simple necessities of life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not just gain. God says it's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. By the way, when you die, it's all staying here. None of it's going with you. Verse number 9, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Let us be therewith content. Let me ask you a question, Pacific Baptist Church, this morning. Are you content with what God's given you? Think about it. Are you content? Will a materialistic world be won to Christ by a materialistic church? And the answer, obviously, is no. You know why? You know why a materialistic Christian can have no impact on a materialistic world? Because here's the message we communicate. When we are not content with what God's given us, we're not content with the fact we're going to heaven someday. God's given us everything he wants us to have. When we're not content with that, we show the world that Christianity, or relationship with God, salvation, plus possessions equals contentment. And that's why many of us this morning, we don't have a light that shines, because the world looks at us and they see us, they see you and me as Christians who are not content with what we've been given, but we're always searching for more. And what did Paul say here? He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Can I tell you something this morning? Materialism is not just something that's here in America. Now, America has a kind of a corner on it because we have more money. We have more access to things that we think will make us happy. We buy things that we can't afford to impress people that we don't know who the truth is. They don't even like us. You think about it. Why do we buy most of the things we buy? As Americans, let's think about that. We interviewed Brother Buna over Skype in the college just last week. And I asked him, or one of the students asked him, said, hey, Brother Buna, tell us, what's one of the major barriers there to the gospel in Cambodia? Right away, without missing a beat, he said, it's materialism. Right there in third world Cambodia. He says, materialism is the big barrier to us reaching the people there in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Majority of whom live on $2 or less a day. Materialism. Materialism is not just for people who have a lot of money. Materialism is the god of this age. And so the question this morning is, church, we're talking about missions. We're talking about the Great Commission. In light of the great spiritual and physical poverty around the world, are you a Christian that is content this morning? By the way, possessions are deceptive. The more you get, the more you want. The more I get, the more I want. Missionaries are not exempt from this either. My wife has reminded me on several occasions as we're here for 4 months in America, hey, we don't need things. Man, I don't know if I'm like you, but I go into Costco and I see things. Anybody else give me a witness out there? I'm up here all alone, okay? So we're all just as wicked as the other one. Okay? Things. And they're deceptive. The more you get, the more you want. It's like this. It's like the man who's dying of thirst. And he sees an ocean full of water, not realizing that if he drinks that water, it's going to kill him. He thinks that water is what he wants. And you know what he does? He goes and drinks that salt water. And the more he drinks, the more he needs to drink. The more he drinks, the more he's going to become dehydrated. And the thing that he thinks he wants eventually will kill him. Materialism is like that, church. And this morning, the question is this. Are you content with the simple necessities of life? Verse number 9, it says that they that will be rich fall in temptation and a snare. They that will be rich. Now, those that have a desire to be rich. You might say this morning, well, the truth is, Brother Board, I'm not desiring to be rich. You know why we're not desiring to be rich if you're not desiring? Because you're already rich. In a moment, we'll talk about the verse to those that are rich. But for some of the people there in Cambodia, they desire to be rich. And Paul describes what will happen in their life, but let me say this. These warnings that he's getting ready to give us are for those that desire to be rich. How much more so for those of us that are already rich? We are wealthy by any standard. Can I tell you something? The average American spends $109 a day. Take into account your house payment, your meals, your car payment, your insurance. Many Americans spend much more than that. You say, well, that's what it takes to live a decent life. Maybe or maybe not. I don't know. That's for you to decide. What I'm going to ask you this morning is, are you content to live with the simple necessities of life? And he says there, they that will be rich fall into temptation. Not may fall into temptation. They will fall into temptation and a snare or a trap. Into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, ruin. Why? The desire for more. And the warning this morning is, we're thinking about the great spiritual, physical poverty, as we're thinking about our Go and Tell campaign. You know what the world needs to see? They need to see a Christian who is fully content with simple necessities of life. Food, shelter, clothing. I wonder this morning if we ought to ask ourselves, did God bless our nation become the wealthiest nation in the history of the world in order that we might bless other nations? See, now we have great military might, although that's diminishing greatly. If your hope is in that, you're going to wake up someday sorely disappointed. But see, God has blessed us. God has set us aside for his purposes as a young nation. We're serving there in Cambodia in a culture that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. America's not very old. How is it that we got to the point where we are, where we can live on $109 a day, but majority of the world, 3 billion people out of the 7 billion, live on two or less a day? One of those billion lives on $1. You say, well, okay, they're in a third world country. It probably doesn't take much to live over there. Let me just tell you something, for those of you that don't know. $1 a day in Phnom Penh doesn't go any further than $1 a day goes here in Long Beach. You know, for one Coke, it costs 35 cents. That's Coke that's bottled over there. If you want Coke from America, it costs you 80 cents. none of us would think twice about going home. And it's not wrong. I'm not laying a guilt trip. I'm helping us to put it in perspective. You go home, you open, everybody has their own can of pop. You got five in your family. Okay, it's no big deal. You know, in Cambodia, that is unreachable for the majority of the people in Cambodia. They like Coke just like I like Coke. They like to drink a Pepsi just like I do. You know, medicine in Cambodia costs money. We know that 20,000 children today will die because of preventable diseases. You know why they're going to die? Because their parents don't have money to buy medicine. Medicine, it just costs a few dollars. What if God has blessed our country become the wealthiest in the history of the world so that we could bless other nations? What if God is blessing this church with a brand new building? And God is working in our midst and calling out many of us. Well, what a blessing to be in a school and a college this last few weeks. God's working on the hearts of some of your children. What if he's doing that not so that we can fill that new building with a lot of things? And I hope, church, that we keep things in that building simple. I hope we don't have super expensive furniture. I hope that our worldview be the way that Christ views the world, a world that's in need, a world that we need to bless spiritually and physically. Think about that. In recent months, I was in a communist country with a Christian man and interviewing him, a man from America, from a state in the Midwest. And I sat down, and he had recently, at the age of 50 or 51 years old, surrendered to leave the business world and go to a communist country as a missionary. That's what he was willing to do, and he surrendered to do that. And by the way, today he's actively doing it. And I sat at the table at breakfast and asked him, and I won't say his name, he's in a restricted country back and forth, and I said, "Brother so-and-so, what was it that caused you to walk away from your business?" And by the way, he ran a warehouse in a Midwestern state that on an annual basis did about $10 million in business, and he's the owner. He had a very comfortable lifestyle. And he said he became part of a Bible study where the Bible study leader challenged those in the Bible study, about 15, 20 businessmen, to use their resources, use their life for God's purposes. He said he sat there in that Bible study, and God began working on his heart the first night, and he fought it. He fought it. You know why? Because possessions always produce pride. Possessions produce pride. And so in his life, he was faced with the fact that he was full of pride. You and I this morning as Americans, you know why we are hated around the world? You say, "No, everybody loves America." You've been watching the wrong news channel. Everybody does not love America. Brother, all you got to do is travel outside. Now, they love money. They love freedom. They don't love what America stood for back when we fought for those freedoms. They don't love what made America great. They want to come here, do their own thing. They don't love America the way you and I should love America. And he said, you know, I asked him, "What was the hardest thing about surrendering?" He said, "You know what? It wasn't hard once he finally yielded his will." He said, "I am ashamed to sit here this morning at breakfast and tell you that it took me 3 months of going to this Bible study before I yielded to God's call to use my possessions for his glory." 3 months. He said, "I'm ashamed." He says, "As a 50-year-old Christian, I should have, the first time I heard there was a need, I should have said, 'God, whatever you want, I'll give it to you.'" He says, "I fought God for 3 months." He says, "I'm ashamed." I said, "Do you regret walking away from a $10 million annual business? He said, "No." He said, "I'm ashamed it took me 3 months to do it." This morning, church, I'm sure that he had a very beautiful home. You know, $10 million in the Midwest goes a lot further than it goes here in California. Pretty sure he had a comfortable lifestyle. He walked away from that. Why? Great physical, great spiritual poverty. And he came to the conviction. By the way, he doesn't hold the same Bible we hold this morning. And we say this is, we believe, God's preserved word of God. He held a version in his Bible that's full of errors. It's not the right translation. But yet God used that in his heart to convict his heart to the point where he walked away from his possessions. Now the question goes back to you and I, church, this morning. Are you and I content with the simple necessities of life? Christian, this morning, it may be that you and I will miss God's will for our life if we're not content to live with the simple necessities of life. It may be this morning, Christian, that there's a group of people somewhere in the world, maybe it's in Southeast Asia, Maybe it's in a church plant here on the West Coast. Maybe it's another country in the world, but there's a group of people there waiting to hear the gospel who may never hear it as long as we're addicted to possessions and toys and things. Are you content with the simple necessities of life? It may be this morning, Christian parent, that you are right now, out of naivety, destroying the future happiness of your child. Why? Because you're creating within them an appetite for things that never satisfy, things that will always let you down. When push comes to shove and you die, those things are not coming with you. Possessions have never made you and I happy. Parent, wake up this morning. Ministry leaders, are we giving things to our children rather than having communication and a relationship with them? Are we buying them off by things? Are you destroying, parent, are you destroying the future happiness, fulfillment, God's call, God's purpose for your child by creating appetites that will be difficult, if not impossible, for them to sustain once they surrender to God's will? What if God, this morning, church, wants to work in each of our hearts to cause each of us to downsize some so that we have more resources freed up for things that are eternal? In light of the great spiritual and physical poverty around the world, what does God want us to do? By the way, this goes against everything that our culture tells us to do. Our culture tells us we need more. You watch commercials, more. You go to Costco, it worked on me, it was almost working. If I wouldn't have had Debbie to help straighten me out, more. Man, you know what I need? I need, Brother Vong, I need that 3 terabyte hard drive. I can always justify that I need it. Doesn't mean it's a sin if I buy it. I give that one little disclaimer there, okay? Are we content to live for the simple things in life? Consider that. Last of all, this morning, church, let me say this. Be cautious with acquiring excess. So there's great spiritual poverty. Open our eyes and see it. Think about it. There are people around the world that will die and go to hell. They have no choice. They don't even know there's a way to get to heaven. God loves them. There's great physical poverty. Many, many, many people around the world will go to bed hungry tonight. We need to be content with the simple necessities of life. And let me say this. We need to be cautious with acquiring excess. 1 Timothy chapter 6, again, verse 9 through 11. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. What if this morning... We're talking about being cautious with acquiring excess. That means more than you need. Let me ask you this. What is in your closet right now? If we're in the Midwest, we'd say basement. Here, we don't have basements. What's in your closet? What's out in your garage that you were convinced that you needed and you haven't touched in 6 years? Acquiring excess. All of us as Americans have a lot of excess in our life. I told this story this morning about the Cambodian Chinese businessman who's a tailor, who lives, his business is inside it, it's his garage, it's where he sleeps at night, it's where they cook food for the 5 members of their family and the 1 member that will be born in a few months, and it's a size, it's smaller actually than a single car garage here in America. And by the way, as a Christian now, he's just tickled pink to be alive and serving God. He's excited, he's content. So what's wrong with us as Americans? Why are some of us this morning stressed out? We don't sleep well at night, and we're in over our heads. For some of us, it maybe not have been, might not have been our fault. For some of us, it's because we haven't been cautious about this thing of excess. Now, we're here in America for 4 months. What if the rule there at the airport was, okay, Dave and Debbie, you're going to be here for 4 months. Here's the deal. You can make as much money as you want. You can make as much. You can both work overtime, work as many hours as you can. But here's the catch. You can't take any of that money with you back to Cambodia. However, you can wire transfer it from Long Beach over there to Cambodia. When you get there, it'll be there waiting for you. How foolish would I be this morning, in the 4 months that I'm here, to go shopping at IKEA and buy a bunch of expensive furniture, Go over to Walmart, go over to Costco, go to the car lot, buy a couple cars. After all, I deserve it. I've worked hard. I can make as much as I want. That's the rules. When in 4 months, it's all going to stay here anyway. On the other side, if I would work as hard as I could, make as much as I could, and wire every penny of that to Cambodia, it'd be there waiting for me when I got there. By the way, we're here on this globe called planet Earth for a short time. Nothing's going with you but what you send ahead. How do you send it ahead? Honor God with your possessions. For some of us, God wants us to go, and that's very clear to some of us. Some of you sitting there right now, God's made it very clear. Some of us are a little uncomfortable this morning because God's working in our hearts and we're fighting him in some area. We're like this man who's gone to a communist country who fought God for 3 months. Now, how long are you going to fight God? With great joy, he smiled and said, Dave, I'm so glad I've surrendered. Man, what joy to serve God. I said, do you regret not being in the business world? He said, I am glad to be away from it. I'm just living every day to bless others. Wow. So be extremely cautious about acquiring excess. Acquiring excess. And our time is out this morning, folks. I have, again, stories I want to share with you from the mission field. But the bottom line is this. There's great spiritual poverty. There's great physical poverty. You and I have been blessed. Why? Because God wants to bless others through us. What does God want you to do this morning? Is there baggage in your life? Are there things you're holding on to God wants you to let go? Parents, are you harming the future, fulfillment, happiness, life purpose for your children by creating appetites in them that cannot be righteously fulfilled? I don't know. I ask that question to myself as well. See, none of us are exempt from this thing. Open our eyes. Let's see the world the way God sees it, with compassion. Souls, men, women, boys, and girls who will spend eternity in hell. Maybe this morning you're here and you say, you know what? I've never been saved. I would like to be saved. My challenge this morning would be, don't wait. Do that today. Get that taken care of. God wants to save you this morning. That's his promise. If you call out to him, he will. I invite you to stand together with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.